welcome to Conversations with Crystal. I am your hostess, Crystal, and thank you for joining me again this evening when I bring you some really, really special guests. They are Dungog's newest duo, and their names are Lisa Weissman and Phil Watts, and together they make What's Wise, which I think is an absolutely fabulous name. Please join me in welcoming Lisa and Phil. Hey, Lisa, how are you going? I'm really pleased to be speaking with you tonight.
Hi, Crystal. I'm fine, thank you.
You're welcome. And Phil, I've got you there as well. How are you going?
I'm going great, Crystal. Thanks very much for having us on your podcast.
Oh, no worries. I'm very excited to have you guys on. When I seen you on Facebook, I think it must have been an ad that you were playing somewhere, I went, oh, you guys look really, really interesting and I really wanted to talk to you. So, Lisa, let's start with you. I see that you're both multi-instrumentalists. So what instruments do you play?
I play a few instruments. I play anything with a keyboard. I'm a classically trained pianist, so that also includes piano accordion, which is enormous fun. And as well as that, I play guitar and harmonica.
Oh, that's fabulous. And I believe you recently were gifted a piano accordion.
Yes. I was recently given a 1939 Hohner piano accordion in excellent condition, and I'm having so much fun with it.
Oh, that's fantastic. And does it have a smell about it?
No, it was in its own original case and everything, and no.
Oh, wow, because you know how old instruments sometimes get a smell about them?
Yeah, no, this one doesn't. The bodies are made mainly of some celluloid, I think, and they don't seem to really absorb smells.
Isn't that interesting? And what about you, Phil?
Quite as diverse. So I just play rhythm guitar, sing, I play the flute, and do some sort of Arabic and finger percussion and, yeah, basic percussion.
Wow, that's so interesting. You guys look like you have a diverse way of looking at things. How does Dungog being, because it's not a huge town, is it, guys?
No, it's not.
Phil? Yeah?
No, it's not a huge town.
It's all right. We'll work it out, guys.
I think there was a Phil in there. Yep. Yeah, look, Dungog is a small town, but it punches above its weight in terms of entertainment. We have some great entertainment venues there. We have lots of touring bands coming through. So there is quite a little active music scene here in Dungog. Obviously, there's only like four or five venues really. We
don't the music really... festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Lisa.
We had a music festival recently too.
Actually, that might have been where I saw you guys.
Possibly, yeah.
Advertised, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big country music festival in Dungog over October long weekend.
Yeah. How exciting was that, Phil?
Oh, it was really cool. It was, we went into the busking competition. They're having this massive busking competition, but then ended up falling through. So we just sort of did a bit of a improvised, spontaneous performance down outside the Dungog Art Society. So, but there was lots of things happening in town. You know, it's sometimes there's nothing going on in town, and all of a sudden there's just an explosion. And certainly on that October long weekend, there was just like about 14 different events on, so it was pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy. And is this a regular event for Dungog, Lisa?
This was the first one. This was the first one that promoter had put on, but I think he's saying there's going to be more.
That sounds fantastic. We might have to come up and hook into that, I reckon.
That'd be great.
Now, Lisa, have you guys been together long? When did you decide to start this project?
Oh, only fairly recently. It's only been a few months, I think, now.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I've been, if I can just interject there, I thought this question might come up, so I went back and had a look at my calendar.
Good on you.
It was about May, Lisa, that we started getting together.
Oh, okay.
And, so it has been a little bit longer than we both thought. But an interesting story, Crystal, there. My neighbouring Dungog has known Lisa for a long time, and I'd heard about this woman who was an amazing artist. I didn't know anything about her as a musician. And she painted my neighbour's van, and she lovely jungle scenes with wild animals, and she painted my neighbour's living room with jungles and wild animals and waterfalls. And I've been hearing about Lisa for years and hadn't met her, and we've got some mutual friends that put on a music, just invite some musicians around from Dungog for a cabin jam at Lynn Martin's mm-hmm. place. And I met her there. I said, oh, you're the, that was the Lisa I'd heard about for years but had never met. So she was recovering from a wrist injury at the time.
Right. You know what they call that, guys? They call that divine timing.
Yes. I think there's right. Look, and I'll be perfectly honest, and I'll shut up in a minute. All last year I was saying I wanted the universe to send me someone I could play music with, because I just relocated back to the Hunter, and I kept mm-hmm. on meeting singer-songwriters. There's no point me, it's good to meet singer-songwriters, but I need someone who can play with me along with my songs and what I do. As you say, the timing is everything in music and comedy. And eventually
right.
I met Lisa. So that's how it all began.
And Lisa, had you heard of Phil before?
Yeah, so I'd actually heard of Phil from Cole. The funny thing was I first met Cole when I was playing in a band.
Right.
Okay, different band, so that's even more circular.
Right.
Yes. It's that 6 degrees of separation thing, isn't it?
No, it's a small country town.
Now, Lisa, how many people do you reckon are in Dungog?
Mum actually looked it up. We had a bit of a discussion about it the other day, and I think she said there was about 3,000 in town. I may be way out of that on that, but I think that was what she said, and probably as many who live outside town. On farms
right.
and things, and some of the little, some towns are bigger than others, Gresford, Vasey, Clarence Town, all the other little towns in the Shire.
So were you born in Dungog, Lisa?
No, but I've lived in the Hunter Valley for almost all my life.
Right, and what about you, Phil? Were you born in Dungog?
I'm a Mexican originally. I come from,
oh, really?
From Victoria, south of the border.
I gotcha.
And look at me. Look at me, a musician, left the best music scene in Australia as soon as I could when I was a 17-year-old young fella. Just couldn't get out of Melbourne quick enough and started travelling. But Melbourne was awesome in terms of late 60s, early 70s was just a fantastic explosion of Australian music and Australian rock and roll. So every Saturday night, me and a bunch of mates, we're talking about 73, 74, we'd go out every Saturday night and see Billy Thorpe and Daddy Cool and AC/DC and Ayers Rock, mm-hmm. Captain Matchbox, Chain, Carson, Matter Lake was another big one, Lobby Lloyd, Blackfeather. And, of course, my favourite all-time band, Masters Apprentices, even though I never saw them. They were around gigging at that time too. So just an amazing – and there was no industry then. It was even before Mushroom began. So it was just entrepreneurs putting on gigs in town halls and bloody – saw Billy Thorpe probably 30 times, just sensational.
Oh, wow.
So I was a fan. I'm a fan of music who became a musician.
Yeah. And what about you, Lisa? Were you the same, or were you? Have you always been a musician?
I've always been a musician. My grandfather bought me a piano when I was three.
Oh, you lucky lady. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Started lessons very, very early.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Now, Phil mentioned that you're an artist as well. Were you doing that from a young age as well?
Yes, yeah. I'm also currently one of the Liddell Works Project artists in residence.
And can you explain to the listeners what that is, please?
Oh, okay. It's a group of, I think, 16 artists who are making artworks about the closure of the coal-fired power station at Liddell.
Okay. Right. That's very, very interesting. Very interesting. So, Lisa, how did you get your start in music? So I know that you probably did lessons when you were young and that continued on, but when was your first performance? When did you know that you wanted to play in front of people and entertain?
Choice thing. It was one of those, oh, good, you can play the piano. Here, you get up and play. Or, oh, an end-of-year recitals, piano recitals and that sort of thing. So, yeah, really young. And just always did it, but started playing with bands when I was probably 14, 15, going to pubs and playing when I was underage.
Yeah, well, a lot of people did that, you know, back then, and they probably still do it now, I reckon. You know, if there's a little a young person that's very, very gifted, they'll make it work, I'm sure. And did you feel when you were young, Lisa, that that was what you wanted to do, or were you more because it was, oh, you can get up and play? Did you ever feel at any time that that's not where you wanted to be, or was it, yes, this is exactly what I want?
It's just what I did. It was just a part of me.
So it wasn't a decision either way. It was just
that's how it is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic that the universe led you that way, I believe. So lucky for you. And Phil, what about you?
Complete opposite to Lisa. as I said, I was a music fan first. Then I had a bunch of friends when I did 5 years of travelling, ended up back in Sydney, and a bunch of friends that we got together with then were, I'm still in touch with them now, still play music with them now actually in Sydney. We end up just, you know, having parties and playing percussion at the end of the night on anything that moved, and that sort of got me going on percussion. And I thought, oh, I want to get into music and take it a bit more serious. So I took up the flute and did 6 months classical training on the flute. And then, wow. Then I had an allergic reaction to the metronome and just threw it all away. I threw it all away. And so now I'm – and then what I found with the flute was, well, then I discovered songwriting. And I was like, flute playing and songwriting can't really do it at the same time, play, you know, sing and play flute. Some people probably can, but so,
I'm sure they can.
Yeah. So that's when I thought, well, okay, I've got, as a songwriter, I think you really need to take up a chordal instrument, a piano or a guitar. And so I took up the guitar, and it's been a long, slow burn on rhythm guitar. Sort of opposite to Lisa, I pursued music as a part-time interest. I had some material goals. I wanted to, have some material things in life, so I didn't pursue music full-time. I had a job and pursued music as a part-time interest till I finally retired, and probably all my musical skills have coalesced a bit now as I'm older and pretty passionate about playing music and creating music and meeting someone like Lisa. It's we sort of realize that at some point we really complement each other's skills.
That's fantastic. I love that. I really love that.
So it's been evolving, and we're probably going to get more into promotions and, you know, stuff next year. So we're just cruising along this year, getting a video done and a live street party gig on December 1. And
that's fantastic. Now, talk to us a little bit about that, a street party gig. So are you putting it on? Are the council guys putting it on?
Phil. Yeah, thanks, Crystal. Yeah, it's basically the whole of Dungog are pulling together to put on this street party at 4 to 7 on December 1st. And we're all trying to, you know, encourage people to shop and buy their Christmas presents in Dungog. Lisa and I, as artists, are both part of different Lisa's a part of Dungog Art Society. I work with the Dungog By Design Arts Collective. And it's a really tough retail environment in a small country town. And so we're just putting it, the whole town's just putting on this big effort to try and attract people into town and spend their Christmas money on presents in Dungog.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Is there a lot of, how do you say it, like hand crafted goods, yeah. Lisa?
Yeah, there is. You've got everything from the beautiful, beautiful work from the CWA lady, and there's some people who make really gorgeous quilts and all sorts of things. To the Dungog Art Society also includes crafts in its mission statement. So there's performing arts, visual arts and crafts are all featured there at least.
You know what? Isn't that a really fast, like a good view of the council to look at? Because arts quite often get overlooked in small towns, Lisa. So I think that's a very foresightful thing that your government or your council has done. Would you agree, Lisa?
It's not. The council does help us out with some things, for example, sponsorship or grants. But the Art Society is actually a separate group. It's a group of a number of artists, craftspeople and performers who all got together 50 years ago, I believe.
50 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, guys, I'll ask you first, Phil, what is your favourite genre of music? Because I know that you did say you were classically trained, but is that your favourite? Is rock your favourite? Is folk your favourite? What's your favourite genre?
I'd have to say rock and roll. Yeah, having seen the bands that I saw growing up in Melbourne in the 70s, very, you know, wouldn't say super heavy rock and roll, don't mind a bit of that, but yeah, just hard rock and roll. But I've got a wide, I love classical music. I've got a friend in Sydney, we'll try and go out and see a concert once a year in Sydney. I love folk music just because of the tradition and sensibility that folk music brings. And with Lisa, we're getting into a bit more blues as well with our guitar and flute loops. So,
You're starting to talk my language there, mate, blues.
do you play yourself?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
I play a few instruments.
Oh, lovely.
Banjos amongst them, but don't hold that against me.
fair enough. No, good on you.
And Lisa, what about you? What's your favourite genre of music?
I like lots and lots of things. Everything from classical to rock and roll, as Phil said, punk, thrash, blues, mainly.
And so your collaboration with Phil, what are you guys aiming for? And I don't really like classifications, to be honest, because sometimes we fall in between the different genres. Mm-hmm. So if you could kind of say what your guys' vision is, Lisa.
I think that's probably a better one for Phil to answer because he's the one who's actually writing the music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Phil, then.
Yeah.
Phil.
Yeah, our... Without too much trouble, we sort of probably got 20 songs on our set list, and probably, really could start working on another set of music as well. And I would say that our music is mainly the original compositions that me and Lisa play. We only play like about half a dozen covers. I'm dragging my feet there because the memory's not as great as it used to be. And you've got to remember three verses and three lyrics. It's like, there's a lot of brain power goes into that.
Man, that's what an iPad's for.
I'm old school. I've got to burn it into my DNA. I've
got to remember it.
I'm old school. So I burned it into my DNA through endless repetition, Crystal.
Yeah, well, I applaud that because sometimes I go, oh, yeah, that's this song as I'm singing it, and then somehow it ends up with a song verse from another song. And I'm like, oh, well, that fits. Yeah. And you know what? Normally people don't really notice anyway.
Exactly.
So.
That's right.
And then I'll get the husband going, what was that? I'm mashing it up, man.
Contemporary.
Contemporary, that's it.
Yeah,
So these are compositions that you have written,
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah, pretty well. Mostly my compositions in songs. We do some covers, but we're also creating ourselves because Luce is so capable on guitar, and she's got a whole pedal thing going on. You'll have to ask her about her pedal sort of situation. Yeah. We've been inventing, we invent stuff. We just put a drum beat on, she'll lay down, she'll do some live looping, like put a rhythm track down and then do some lead over that, and I'll just join in on flute and vocal. So there's my songs, there's our covers, and there's the music. We do quite a bit of instrumentals, so we do the instrumentals are more our creations together.
Right. Just speaking on instrumentals, my favourite one is Santo and Johnny, Sleepwalk.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of my favourite instrumentals. And, of course, there's some of the Shadows as well, like Apache.
The Shadows. Like Apache. Exactly. The Atlantics.
Yeah. I'm a big Shadows fan.
Yeah, I love them. So, that's really great. I can see and feel that you guys are going to go far with this, and it won't be long before you have your three sets of original music, I don't think. Now, let's talk about your pedal board. Now you've got me really intrigued, Lisa. So tell me all about your pedal board.
Oh, look, it's not huge. It's a fairly small pedal board. I just love technology, and I love the things you can do with technology and gadgetry and the physical act of jumping on it's fun. I've got a loop pedal, which is really good as a duo because, basically it adds an extra three people.
Oh, absolutely. And you're only paying two mouths.
Exactly.
You're only feeding two mouths. Oh, yeah.
You're onto us, Crystal. You've got us. You've got us pegged. I know we have had inquiries about, getting a drummer on board or a percussionist, but first of all, with What's Wise, you've got to have a surname that starts with WRS. We're not just going to entertain you, and we don't need a drummer because Lisa's got a drum machine, and not many openings in our duo.
No. Now, Lisa, you said that you've got – when did you become interested in having a looper and a drum machine and, all your other pedals like I'm looking at, like a wave one and like an overdrive and what's this other one I've got down here, a reverb or something?
Yeah, all your classic pedals except for the looper and the drum machine I've always been into. But the looper and the drum machine came along much, much later. Probably the drum machine came along about 12 years ago. And I was always a purist and was, no, you have to have a drummer. No drum machines, no loops, no, none of that stuff. It's actually quite fun.
Yeah, that's famous last words saying never, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can get you every time.
It can. So I'm really excited about this music that you're putting out, guys. You've told me before we started that you've got a new single that you've collaborated on. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's called...
Yes?
Yes, it's the one that Carice Edens put out the same song with the same title. So we've changed it to A Lament. And it's one of our more delicate finger-picking songs with some really lovely vocal arrangements that Lisa does on it. You know, she's a really lovely backup singer. She hits those harmonies pretty much in perfect pitch. And she Lisa plays this lovely atmospheric sort of guitar to it. So it's not one of our rockier pieces. It's a bit slower and etheric and ambient, I guess.
Well, you know what, Phil? I think that ambient music and, you know, the etheric you were talking about, it's very good for people to unwind to.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's very good that you've put that out, and it's something a little different from what most people would do. So I really applaud that. Now, Phil, are you singing the main vocals on this? You just mentioned Lisa did backups and stuff.
Yeah. So I do the main vocals, and it's a song. I've been stumbling around the planet for 65 years, and it's a song about just traveling up to the Upper Hunter a lot. At the start of the year, there's a mountain there. At the end of the year, there's a hole in the ground. It's about wild rivers being dammed. It's about species losing species. It's about losing friends and family. So it's a bit of a downer, the theme. It's a lament, and it's really lamenting things that have gone in the past, we've lost in the past, basically.
Yeah, look, I don't think I think using the word downer is probably not the best word. I think it's telling the story of Australia.
Yes.
And it's telling the story of the past not being celebrated as much as it should.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it, and progress taking over. Yeah. Progress to me isn't always a good thing.
No, it's not always a step forward, is it, Crystal? Sometimes it's pretty just staggered. Obviously, not a step forward, but
yeah. Like, I'm from a very small country town myself. I'm Tenterfield, actually, northern New South Wales.
Yeah.
So I think there's about 3,500 people there.
Right.
And one thing I can always say is, on a general note, nothing much ever changes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, some things do. But, you know, it's kind of like the base where if we need honey, my husband goes, oh, we're out of honey. And I'll go, oh, well, time for a drive. And he's like, yeah, let's go. And we pack up the camper and drive 700 kilometres to Tenterfield to get honey.
Fantastic. That's right.
Yeah, so I think that kind of thing always stays the same.
Yeah.
And people generally stay the same. The hospitality and the kindness and the CWA ladies, you know.
Yeah, no, there are certainly those fundamentals to rural living. And give me the rural living into the metropolitan living any day. And hopefully that comes through in the music as well.
Yeah, well, I look forward to putting that track in here. I haven't got it from you guys yet, but I will. And I think we'll slot it in right about now.
Yeah.
Everything we've lost along the way, entire species, entire jungles. This is for everyone we've lost along the way. Family and friends. God. lovers and enemies. Rivers and mountains. Marsupials and mammals. And enemies, God. Rivers and mountains, God. Marsupials and mammals.
Very much for that. I'm really pleased that you sent me that, and I'm going to have a good listen to it. And I believe you're also doing a shooting a video, Lisa.
And we're hoping to do the video around where the waterfall is.
Oh, that would be absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
And
lovely. And
the song.
I beg your pardon, sorry. And put it to the backdrop of the song.
And appropriate for the song too.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, I'm intrigued about your property, Lisa. Do you have some horses there?
Yes, yes.
Oh, here we go.
And what about puppies?
Yes, I've got two pet greyhounds.
Oh, they're lounge lizards, man.
Yes.
What about some chickens?
No chickens, but I've got a great garden.
Oh, lovely. So you're growing your own vegetables and stuff.
Yes.
I really love that you're self-sustaining. That's fantastic. And what about you, Phil? Whereabouts are you in town in Dungog? Or
I'm west of Dungog, Crystal, in a place called Gresford. It's probably about 30 k's west of Dungog. There's a mountain range in between Dungog and Gresford. And I've been living the gypsy life for about 5 years, and I'm moving back into Dungog in January into my house there. So looking forward to getting a home studio set up there and an art studio down below the house. And
That'll be fantastic. That'll be great.
Yeah. It's going to make a big difference. It's going to make a big difference to everything.
So you mentioned about the gypsy life, and what does that entail?
Well, I've been since about 2019, I've had about 2.5 years down the south coast, and I look after a couple of Koori bands down there and work on special projects with two, sometimes three Koori bands down the south coast. So that was 2019, 2020, 2021, all. I was right down the south coast when the fires went through. Then we had COVID.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Then
yes.
I had prostate cancer. So it was a real triple whammy of disasters.
Yeah, and you're okay now, Phil?
Yes, I'm in remission, and
excellent.
I must acknowledge my Wolbunja buddies down on the south coast, who I stayed out at Uncle Newton's place, this beautiful property out at Bingee, and it was just an incredible place to heal myself. And it was a place of natural beauty. It looks out over this sacred Gulliga Mountains there, and there's just wildlife galore. So during that whole time, I just, you know, it was a real healing time, and I used that time to really just add another string to my guitar playing in terms of the picking up a bit more finger picking.
Yeah, that sounds style. Like where you guys live sounds like paradise.
It's really good. Does. Yeah, you do appreciate it.
Yeah.
You do.
Now, over the time, Lisa, you've been in other bands and you've performed other places. Have you got a funny story for me, something that's happened at one of your gigs or at a gig together with Phil?
Probably one of the funnier ones was with a 50-50 band. I don't know if you remember 50-50 bands of the 1970s.
Oh, no. Okay. Sorry.
Did play covers and
And originals probably, yeah.
And dance music. So Pride of Erin's, barn dances, you know, all of the old country dances. And mm-hmm. So we used to play country dances as well as other places. And one year we did the Sandy Hollow B&S Ball.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. And I think I was probably about 15 at the time. I was being naive. I think 1 o'clock or so, I think we'd finished everything we knew. People were dancing on the tables and falling off. Goodness. And fighting, and they wouldn't let us stop. So we just had to start from the beginning again.
That's fantastic. Oh, I hope you guys got paid for playing extra.
Honestly, I don't even remember, but it was a lot of fun.
Yes, sounds like a real hoot and holler, that one. That's for sure. And what about you, Phil?
Yeah, a funny thing happened to me at West Leagues about 10 years ago when I was watching the Blood, Sweat and Tears show. I'm a massive Blood, Sweat and Tears, Jim Daly, Wilson, big band, Chicago, all those big brass sections. I love all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I booked in to see Blood, Sweat and Tears there and had a great night there. Just interesting fact about Blood, Sweat and Tears, there's been over 400 members in that band.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No, it's a musical collective. There's a few players that have been there all that time, but a lot of them come and go.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so Blood, Sweat and Tears. Anyway, I'm grooving along to Blood, Sweat and Tears at West Leagues. And I get up and dance around, and my phone's about to die. So I'm just, I'll just film what I can of blood, sweat, and tears while I can before my phone dies. And I'm walking around the front of the stage, and the lead guitarist leans over, picks up my phone, and it's about to die. And he picks it up, and he starts doing this fantastic show, interacting with all his band members, and he's waving the camera all around. It would have been amazing footage. But of course, it died pretty well the second I gave it to him. I'm thinking, oh no.
Oh, that would have been really classic to wouldn't it? What a keepsake that would have been.
I know. Fancy getting the lead guitarist, grabbing your phone, and then just doing a whole interactive show for about 5 minutes, and the phone's dead.
And the phone's dead, man. It's spew. Absolutely spew.
Yeah.
All right. So. And what was the we spoke about bands that you've went and seen, Phil, all those early rock bands.
Yep.
What's your favourite out of all of those, would you say?
Oh, Masters Apprentices, wow, what a band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Billy Thorpe, I saw Daddy Cool, you know. They're just moments you'll never forget. You know, I've recently saw Paul. It's great when you tick off, you know, you're seeing your heroes. So I saw Paul McCartney recently in Newcastle. Brilliant show.
Lucky thing.
Yeah, massive Beatles fan.
Yep.
I've seen Donovan, another one of my heroes.
Yeah, wow.
So when you see your musical heroes, that's a really good thing to tick off.
Absolutely, it is. And would you say that the Beatles and all of those guys had the most influence on you musically?
Oh, definitely. When you think of that band, like Ringo Starr, he wrote songs and he sang on about it. So there's, in some bands, you can't get a singer-songwriter. You can't get a songwriter. But they had three very powerful and four Ringo did write.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, very powerful as a band and powerful influences as solo artists as well.
Yeah. And what about you, Lisa? What was the first band or the band that stuck out for you when you were, you know, one of the first ones that you saw? And which of their music kind of gives you inspiration?
This would have been sort of Newcastle, Hunter Valley sort of area. I remember Hush, Ted Mulry Gang. I remember seeing AC/DC, but the best one of all, and I'm still a fan, was the Angels when they played at the very last Matara concert in Civic Park in Newcastle.
Yep.
And that was the reason why there was never another Matara concert.
So I take it that was a bit of a good time.
It was excellent.
Wow. I think the Angels had to be the best live band in Australia. I've got so much respect for those guys and what they did. And I saw them at the – I don't know if either of you remember the Newcastle earthquake in 89.
Yes, I do, yes.
Wiped out the Workers' Club, which was a massive a music venue in Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
So – I lost my train of thought there, sorry.
Seeing the Angels.
Yes. And the Angels Club. The Angels had a benefit. They had a benefit, the Earthquake Benefit Concert.
I remember
Crowded house, split ends. And the Angels blew everyone away. Midnight Oil, just all these amazing bands like Fancy Scenes, Split Ends and Crowded House on the same bill. Doc Neeson just scaled all this massive stack of amps and was just waving this Eureka flag around. And like he's about 30 feet up in the air on the top of these. You know, it's just truly memorable.
He did that at the Matara concert too. He went hand over hand across the top of the stage still singing.
Right.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow.
Just hanging in the air, hanging in midair.
Wow. The old dog.
Now, guys, Lisa first, have you ever toured overseas or played overseas?
No.
No. Is that something you would be keen to do? And if it is, what area of overseas? What country?
I have horses.
You can't go anywhere.
I don't go anywhere.
No, but if you could and you had the opportunity.
Oh, pretty much anywhere in the world. I have actually travelled a bit. I'm pretty open in terms of places. And I won't say no, I'm never going to go anywhere really.
Yep.
But at the moment I don't have any plans to go anywhere.
Yeah, I think you guys would be very popular overseas as well. And it'll be worth doing at some point in the future. Now, Phil, what about you?
The last 5 years I've set up my YouTube channel with all tracks that I've recorded and videos. And that has picked up a bit of a worldwide, you know, people can access YouTube from anywhere in the world. So I've got about a bit over 2,000 subscribers there and a bit over 10,000 views. So that's my international exposure.
Yeah.
But Africa would be amazing to go to musically. You know, it's, in some places in Africa, it's considered offensive if you don't dance and the music's on. Now, that's my sort of culture. Yeah, you're offending the local customs if you don't dance when the music's on. So that's my sort of town. I've also recently learned there's a Bob Marley Museum, so that would be awesome. I'd just love to go to the Bob Marley Museum.
That would be really cool.
And also Europe has a wonderful acceptance of music in the streets. And you know, acknowledging and contributing to performers who play in the streets. And I think that'll be an awesome experience at some time.
I think it would be too, that's for sure. For me, I would have to say I would love to go to Sun Records.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, in Memphis and Tennessee and all of that, Elvis and, you know, and of course go to Strawberry Fields. How could you not?
Strawberry Fields.
I would. Their places are on our bucket list, that's for sure.
And that whole New Orleans and, you know, that Southern Blues thing, that must be awesome to tour around there. And
yeah, well, I know quite a few musicians who have done that with the Sydney Blues Society.
Cool.
So yeah, they've got they've got a competition.
Oh yeah.
And they send artists over there to join the big American competitions. And
fantastic.
Oh yeah, well, it's in Memphis. Yeah, so that'd be really something to see, I reckon.
Oh, I'd love to get that link off. Yeah, that'd be good. That might get us to America.
Yeah, maybe.
You never know.
Speaking of links, so what I'll get is, Phil, that you said you've got your YouTube channel links.
Yep.
And you guys have a Facebook page, so I'll grab all those links off you if you haven't already given them to me.
No worries.
And Lisa, do you have a YouTube channel or anything similar?
No, I don't. I actually have my own website.
Well, you need to send me that link, my darling.
Okay. I don't have any music on it. It's all art related, but yeah, I can't.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're an artist. You're Australian music and you're an artist. That is perfect.
Great.
So I really look forward to getting those off you. I can put it in the description of this show so that people can click on the links and follow you guys and have a look at what you're all about and hopefully come to Dungog next year when you have the festival down there, up there.
That would be awesome. Yeah, no, it'd be great.
I think I'll put it on our calendar as well.
Fantastic.
For next year. Yeah.
And we look forward to learning a bit more about your music too, Crystal.
Yeah. So. Come up and play.
I'd love to. We'd love to. Yes. That'd be fantastic. All right, guys. Well, I really thank you so much for joining me this evening. You're a pair of great people, and I love meeting interesting, nice, cool people, and I think you guys are it.
Well, thank you, Crystal. The feeling's mutual. You're doing an awesome job there for Australian musicians, so thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Phil. And Lisa, I look forward to seeing more of your art and following you guys and seeing what you're up to next and where next year takes you.
Thank you very much, Crystal. I do hope you come up to the festival or any time next year. It'd be great to catch up in person.
Well, you know what? I'm going to put out some feelers for the venues, I think. So we'll just see what happens.
Great. I know a few booking agents around town, so no worries.
We'll talk after. Sure. All right then, guys. Well, I will say good night. Once again, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Crystal.
And thank you, Phil.
Good on you, Crystal. Cheers.
Cheers. All right, guys. I'll see you later. Thank you so much. Bye. Good night.
Bye. Bye.
And that was Lisa Wise and Phil Watts from the dynamic duo Watts Wise. And they're from Dungog, so go up and check them out. Please join me next week for another fantastic guest that I have for you all lined up. And until then, please stay safe, stay happy, stay cool, stay awesome. But most of all, please stay tuned to this channel. Goodbye.